Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Tonight between the Denver Nuggets and the Golden State Warriors, the Nuggets taking this thing back home inside Ball Arena. Can some mile-high magic really help this team find a way to stay alive in the series? Joining us now to talk about it, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV, our Nuggets insider. Chris, no doubt about it, the last two games have been rough. There's been some moments where you thought, okay, this team can hang with Golden State, but usually those moments are followed by just a barrage of threes left and right. What do the Nuggets have to do? I'm guessing that all starts with the MVP, with Nikola Jokic tonight, who's had good numbers, Chris, but kind of been, they've all been befuddled, I suppose, by what Draymond Green specifically is doing on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. Nikola Jokic has been, well, I can't actually remember. I mean, he was a deep negative plus minus in these first two games, and I just can't remember that might have never happened in back-to-back games. And so, yeah, I mean, it's, I think for Nikola Jokic, it really begins with how do the Nuggets make him multi-dimensional again. I mean, I think Golden State has done a really nice job of making sure that he doesn't impact the game, both scoring and and playmaking and rebound, like all the things that made him the 2,000-1,500 guy. They don't want those to happen. And so what they've really done is they've made him score a bunch of points on a bunch of shots. And so how do the Nuggets get movement back around him so that it's not just the shot-making piece that is, obviously he's been doing that to a fine level, but also can he get, other plays made for his teammates? And so I think, for Jokic, it begins there and how the Nuggets get the movement back around him, because they're really starting to stand around him again. You know, we talked about this last season when the Phoenix Sun series, where it just got to a space where Jokic would catch the ball and then you just have the four guys looking at him. And I think I've seen instances now, especially in that second game, where we're getting back to that space, so the Nuggets got to get movement around him. And then I'll say this, they must come in with a confident attitude and a kind of a healthier mind state. They didn't have that in game two. And, can they bring that to the arena tonight? Because if they don't bring that, it won't matter what they do, X's and O's. They will be defeated before they walk into the arena.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Joining us now, Chris Dempsey from Altitude TV. It's just been strange. I think Coach Malone talked about Draymond Green and the way he's playing defense. He's like not necessarily guarding anybody, but also guarding everybody, it seems like. How do you begin? I suppose that's going to be the test for Coach Malone specifically is, what do you do when you have a free agent defender who's just rolling around and he is guarding Joker pretty well, obviously. What can you do to try to offset that matchup a little bit?
Well, and I think that's where the movement comes in, because, it's Draymond can only guard everybody if there's really nobody moving. in basketball, the teams that are the most dynamic, the teams that give defenses the most problems are the ones that have constant movement. All we need to do is look at the other team. Golden State embodies that almost every single possession, where there's so much happening, not on just on the strong side, but also on the weak side, occupying defenders' eyes and bodies, and then making you communicate and be organized all the time. They have never gotten that. They've gotten to that personality every single time. The Nuggets have not. And so when you are just basically standing in an area, now a guy can freelance a whole lot more, because he knows, well, my guy's just going to be right there at the three-point line. I can go here and there, and I can go help out over here and help out over there. And so I think, with a guy like Draymond Green, who's just very smart, obviously both offensively and defensively, you got to keep him in motion, keep him running, having to navigate screening action, keep him having to keep tabs on the guy he's actually supposed to be guarding. and really involve him, in being an active defender rather than being this guy who can kind of do a little bit here, a little bit over there, a little bit over here, because your offense is most largely stagnant.
All right, no doubt it's going to be, that's a battle. That's an interesting scheme. But why is it, Chris, to help me out here, man? And I get it. I know first quarters sometimes are tell completely different tales than what the rest of the game will. But it does seem like to me personally, watching the first two games, the Nuggets on their defensive side of the ball really dialed in, really moving well, getting hands in those faces of the shooters, even though sometimes those shots are still going in. It seems like in that second period, maybe mid-second period of maybe both games, you just kind of see that lack of focus on the defensive side of the ball. Am I wrong on that? If I'm right, what can the Nuggets do to really just keep that focus throughout the entire game?
Well, I think this is what makes Golden State the toughest, you know, and it's not that you can't have success against them. It's just that they keep coming at you for 48 straight minutes. And, you know, you will be tested in terms of your ability to continue to execute on the defensive end all the time. In transition, communicate the right way every single time. Get organized quickly. Get hands up all the time. And most teams can't do that. You know, they have shown you that over the years in terms of their championship years. And now they're getting a team that's championship caliber again here. And it's the same thing, and they know that this system works. And when they move like that, and when they can get Steph and Klay off the ball, I mean, not only these two guys, two of the greatest shooters ever, the two greatest shooters ever, but their off-ball movement is amazing. Obviously, on the ball, especially Steph Curry is fantastic as well. And it's a very, very difficult thing. It's why these teams haven't had very much success against the Golden State Warriors in their championship windows, because it's your every mistake that you make is capitalized on. And for the Nuggets, they've made a lot after the first quarters. And, you know, you're right. They come dialed in and ready to go and all fired up. But can you continue to do that over the course of the game? If you can, you give yourself a chance to win in the fourth quarter. If you cannot, you're in real jeopardy of having to sustain a 14-0 run, a 26-4 run, a 10-0 run, you know, those kinds of things that can sometimes be just knockout blows. So I think for the Nuggets, the game plan is a good one. You know, it's can you execute that game plan for the majority, if not for the entire game? And it's easy coming out of my mouth. It's much harder to get that done, but the Nuggets have to start by putting the first quarter together and then the second quarter together and then going from there.
Yeah, no question about it. And it's as you said, it's a very tall task to try to dial in against this Golden State team, because they spread the floor out so well. They have so many shooters, and that's the hard, especially in this day and age in the NBA, that's the hardest team to go up against. Chris, we've been saying it like crazy, man. Who's going to help the Joker? You're around these players. You're around the coaches. Do you ever get a sense that some of the players are like, you know what, I'm sick of hearing it. You know, we know the Joker's the MVP, but we have to do something to change that narrative. Who's going to help the Joker? We got to change that. Do you sense any kind of that where Aaron Gordon, a Will Barton, a Bones Highland, they hear that and they're finally like, you know what, enough's enough. We have to change that narrative.
Not necessarily. I think they understand that, you know, Nikola Jokic is the headline guy, and he should be. I mean, this is what he's doing for your basketball team on a nightly basis. And so I think for them, the frustration kind of comes in. I mean, it's probably not always easy to hear people go, Joker needs help. Joker needs help. You know, Joker needs help. And you're looking at yourselves. They're probably looking around like, yeah, well, we're not chopped liver. We're really right. Good basketball players. So I'm sure that doesn't feel good to hear that all the time coming from people. But at the same time, they all know how this works here with the Nuggets. And, you know, Nikola Jokic is the leader, but you guys can, the rest of the players can be very significant complementary pieces. You don't have to be, you know, super small pieces to the greater enterprise here. They are significant players and significant pieces. Aaron Gordon has a history of being a really good basketball player prior to becoming a Denver Nugget. Will Barton grew into a good player here. Monte Morris has grown in his career here. Bones Highland is beginning his career here, but we can already see what he's going to be. And so you're talking about players who have proven it and have put really good basketball on the court in some cases for many years. And so the frustration for them is, why aren't they doing it now? I think if they're looking in the mirror a little bit, they know that they can bring a little bit more in terms of, effort, especially after the first quarter. And then in terms of just sustained basketball IQ over the course of the entire game, running your stuff. Like Golden State hasn't necessarily had to try to really stop Denver's offense at its best. The Nuggets really do have one of the best offenses in the NBA. I mean, it's one of the most efficient, especially in two-point range. They shot the highest percentage of any team in the NBA during the regular season. We just haven't seen that offense. And I think if you're anybody else around Joker, the question you have to be asking yourself is, how do we get back to that and then sustain that over the course of the entire game? Because if they do, now you're putting pressure on the Golden State defense. Yeah, it's one of the top five defenses in the NBA, but they haven't had to show it. And so you got to make them show it. And so if they can do that tonight, then now get this game into the fourth quarter and see who has the better shot makers when that time comes.
It's going to take some help and some consistent help for the Joker if the Nuggets want to get this thing done tonight and make this a series again. Chris, talk to us about the Will Barton Boogie Cousins thing. That was obviously, emotions run high in these games, and when things aren't going right and you kind of feel like you're just absolutely getting worked and you're searching for answers, you guys can get into it. So we've seen it before. It's nothing new, but is that anything to be too terribly concerned about at this point? Have they mended that fence, so to speak?
Yeah, I don't think it's anything to be real concerned about. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. And listening to players and Coach Malone talk about the situation yesterday, they all kind of talked about, okay, that's, as you just said, frustration's kind of boiling over at a point. Maybe a player didn't exactly love the way something was said to him, in that moment. But what Michael Malone said was, by the time they got onto the plane, everything was aired out. People were fine, and they had moved on from that space. And so I guess we'll just see, tonight if that is actually the case. But, this team has, I think, over the course of an 82-game regular season, shown that it can overcome a lot of stuff, a lot of adversity. And I think in this one moment, it needs to just draw upon that again to be able to see them through this moment. They have talent enough to know, we're talking about trying to get back into a series here. They're talented enough to do that, especially when you get the games on your home court. But now it's up to you to be able to put whatever else aside for the greater good of winning a basketball game. And we'll just see tonight if the hatchet really has been buried, or if a lot of that stuff that we saw in game two starts cropping up again here in game three, then this series will be a short one.
Chris, when you look at this Warriors team, obviously the emerge, and Jordan Poole's been great all year, but man, you always kind of see heroes really come to life on the national scale, in the playoffs, and we're seeing Jordan Poole play so well that Golden State's like, you know what, Steph, you can be sixth man of the year from now on. I mean, that's a great thing to have if you're the Warriors, Steph coming off the bench. Where does this Warriors team rank up with the past Warriors teams? Obviously the one back in the George Karl playoff series where you were just kind of seeing this team emerge, and then you see, Kevin Durant added in. Boy, this team, and I know it's hard to replace KD, but this team, based on what we've seen in two games against the Nuggets in the playoffs, they look absolutely terrifying, man. Where do they stack up in what you've seen with past Warriors teams?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely they're by far the best Warriors team we've seen since Kevin Durant left. It's easy for us to forget now, but they went through a couple of seasons of no playoffs in Golden State. Like, that's prior to this, like, the Golden State Warriors were not in the playoffs last year.
Yeah,
we were not in the playoffs the year before. Yeah. So when you talk about guys like Jordan Poole and Juan Toscano Anderson and Gary Payton II and Kevon Looney, they had to take the better part of the last 2 years to get this new cast of characters up to speed, because the last time we saw them, it was Kevin Durant, and Andre Iguodala had a bigger role, and Sean Livingston was a big deal for them, and JaVale McGee was a player that was on. So they had a set cast of characters and players that had been there, that had been great, really, really high-level support players to Steph and Draymond and Clay, and they had to get that. Well, first of all, Clay went down, obviously, with the Achilles and the ACL, so he wasn't even in the equation. But simultaneously to that, all of those good support players were gone, and they had to get it figured out again around Steph and Clay and Draymond and Clay whenever he was going to come back, which is obviously this season. And so, when you see a Jordan Poole, he didn't just come out; he didn't just appear out of the clear blue sky. That is a 2-year project,
yeah.
You know. To get him to where he is right now. Toscano Anderson is the same thing. Gary Payton, maybe not exactly the same thing, but certainly a recent addition. Kevon Looney, a 2-year thing. Remember they had they had some other guys in here that have been kind of filtered through as well. So I think, and we said this at the beginning of the series, that this is the best team since their championship teams. And it is not because of Steph and Clay and Draymond, they're always great, but it's because they have finally gotten that equation around them in a great place, Jordan Poole being the leader of that pack, but they can mix in. I mean, I even mentioned Andrew Wiggins, and he was an all-star
right.
this year.
Yeah.
it really does go to show you a couple of things. One, obviously you need to have the star players, but two, the players around those star players matter incredibly, and so that's where we are with this Golden State team. They look terrifying, as you said. They look cohesive. They look devastating again. They have young players that can score along the older players, and that's going to they get out of this series against the Nuggets. I wouldn't be surprised to see them in the NBA Finals. I mean, they're that good.
Well, especially when you see what's going on with Phoenix with Devin Booker. Who knows how long?
3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean that's going to be an interesting debate for Phoenix too. Like that's typically what it is. Do you push him knowing that you have a chance to win a championship this year, or do you say, hey, we got to give him as long as it takes? It might have opened things up, and you're seeing Memphis tied up with Minnesota. It does feel like it's a little more open than usual. So yeah, if you're Golden State, you're thinking, man, we take care of this, we might have it fairly easy here to get into the finals. Chris, last one for you, man. Just looking at the spread tonight, Nuggets are -2. That's kind of interesting. They were the first game, they were +6.5. Second game, they were +7. What does that tell you about tonight?
I don't even know.
That's what I'm asking you. I'm like, I don't. What does that mean?
Yeah, if I'm just being honest, I don't even know, because, listen, the last time the Golden State Warriors were in Denver, they beat them. In the regular season, remember you had that pair of games that week where they were both in Denver, but Golden State didn't send their good players to the, but they did for the second game, and they won that second game. So, I don't know, and it's a Nuggets team that hasn't obviously performed as well at home as it has in the past. So, but home court gives you a little bit of an oomph, and I think maybe obviously we're seeing that in the line. But I think maybe I would say this: if I'm looking at this just from a fan's point of view, there were some knockout punches, especially in the second and third quarters of each of those games. I don't think that there were multiple knockout punches. It's just that the Nuggets were not able to survive the one big one. And then all of a sudden things calm down and the teams play even. But okay, but at that time it's an 18-point lead. And if you play even from there, you're losing by 18 points. And so I think maybe there's a little bit of that happening. Can Golden State put a knockout blow on the Nuggets in Denver the same way that they were able to in San Francisco? And even if they do have a real prolonged run, can the Nuggets use home court and a little bit more of a tough-mindedness to get themselves back in a game in the way that you might not be able to when the crowd is on you and you're frustrated and they're shimmying and dancing and doing the gritty out there on the on the court. So I think maybe that all those things are being built into that line, but that line is surprising to me. It is, but I'm hopeful that the Nuggets, if they bring the right mindset, can pull this out and really make a series of it. You know, because if you win Game Three, boom, now it's a whole different thing. But you got to win that Game Three.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We know what happens if you lose Game Three, if you go down 3-0. Chris, my man, appreciate you. Let's see if they can do it. I want to keep stretching out these conversations where we're talking about meaningful basketball. I'm not ready for the off season yet.
Yeah, me too, man. We'll cross our fingers here.
All right, my man. Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV. Love his insight there. Whew, let's hope they can get it done, man. We got the Hype House coming up in just a moment. More Nuggets Golden State coming up for you. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Live from the Allo Communications Studios. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.